You can take your Bibles this morning and be turning to Matthew chapter 6. Actually, we're going to read one passage before that. We're going to read from John chapter 8. It is no secret that we live in a world with lots of troubles and cares. I mean, all you have to do is watch a little news, there's mass shootings, there's suicide bombers, racial tensions, you name it. And that's just out there. And then there are all the things that are closer to home. And it seems that our world doesn't handle those troubles very well. Whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, or prescription drugs to try to escape all the worries. And it seems like it is a perfect prescription for worry of gigantic proportions. If you don't have anything to worry about, someone around you will give you a long list of things to worry about, I assure you. You've heard the expression that goes something like this: that woman doesn't have a care in the world. Now, what does that mean? Well, it could mean that she doesn't let things get her down. Or it could mean that she's so buried her head in the sand that she won't face any of the real difficulties in this world. Or it could mean that she so trusts the Lord that He gives her grace in every circumstance. I don't know the woman, but there are plenty of people to fit all of those descriptions. I want to read to you from John chapter 8. And I won't read all the context, but let me just get enough that I think we can follow it. Let me start in verse 29. Jesus is speaking, John 8, verse 29. "And He who sent Me is with Me. He has not left Me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." As He was saying these things, many believed in Him. Verse 31. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered Him, 'We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" What tremendous promises. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. But what does that mean? Has Jesus so removed the burdens from us that we can live a carefree life? I want to give you a dictionary definition of carefree. Free from anxiety or responsibility. Having no worries or troubles. And the dictionary lists some synonyms of carefree: unworried, untroubled, nonchalant, happy-go-lucky, free and easy, easygoing, blasé, casual, relaxed, serene. So when we read in the New Testament, "Don't worry," what does that mean? Does that mean that we live a carefree life, that we never agonize over the situations in this world? And you see, this question is very relevant because this passage we're coming to, three times Jesus will tell us, depending on your translation, and we'll talk about that especially next week, "Do not be anxious," or "Do not worry." Let's go ahead and read it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And this is right where we left off in the Sermon on the Mount. Last time we covered verses 19 through 24. Now verse 25, 6:25. Jesus speaking. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father, this morning, we are no strangers to worry and anxiety. We are tempted every day. Father, give us insight today and next Sunday so that we'll be able to handle the troubles that come on our way in a way that will glorify you above all else. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So most all of us are at least somewhat familiar with the passage I just read out of Matthew 6. We're not going to go through that passage this morning. We're going to do that next week. Today, we're going to introduce this by talking about worry and some of the things it entails, and I want to do it with three questions. And the first question is this. What about the translation, take no thought? Does anybody's translation read, take no thought? If you're reading King James, it says, take no thought. Read verse 25 for us, Rhonda, loudly, please.
Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you eat, what you drink, nor yet for your body, what you put on. It's not the life that you eat, and the body that you eat.
Okay, if you follow that down to verse 31, it will say again, take no thought. Verse 34, it will say again, take no thought. Each time that word is used, that's the way the King James translates it. Now, the question is that what Jesus meant? That we should take no thought for these things, even what we eat and drink and put on. Other translations, and if you're reading them, they will either say, for the most part, you may have ones a little different, they will either say, do not be anxious or do not worry. The NIV is do not worry, the ESV is do not be anxious. So the real question we're asking is, what does it mean to worry? Does worry equal, if we don't worry, is that equal to don't think about it? Is worry always a bad thing? Now, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. When we talk about worry, this, along with Matthew 6, will be the go-to passage. Philippians chapter 2, we read it a little bit earlier, but I want to look at it again. Philippians, if I said chapter 2, I meant chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Some translations will simply say, don't worry about anything. I mean, it seems pretty clear. It seems like a very absolute statement. But be careful with that. Go back to Philippians 2. I want to read you another passage from Philippians, verse 19. I have to get a little background. This is about Timothy, his son in the faith. And Paul says in 2:19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the Father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. All right. Notice verse 20. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. That word concerned It is the exact same word that is used in Matthew 6 when it says, do not worry, or do not be anxious. Worry, anxious. It's the exact same word that's used here for concern. So here, let me ask you, is it a good thing or a bad thing that Timothy is concerned for their welfare? It's obviously a good thing. So on the one hand, he tells us, do not worry, be anxious. And then the same word, he says, do. It's good that Timothy is. It seems on the surface like it's a contradiction. So the Greek word that we're talking about, you don't need to remember this, but just so we get it out there, it's merimnao. And it's used 6 times in Matthew 6 to talk about being anxious or worrying. This word has 2 shades of meaning, okay? And it depends on the context. The one shade of meaning that it has is to be anxious or to be troubled. For instance, do you remember the story about Mary and Martha? Jesus was in their home, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. But it says this, you don't need to look it up, I'll read it for you. It says this about Martha. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious, there's our word, and troubled about many things. She was worried, she was uptight, she was anxious about getting all these outward things ready. But the other shade of meaning is to care for, to look out for, to promote another's interest. That's what Timothy did, and it was a good thing. So let me put it like this, bluntly. There is a fine line between worry and godly concern. Okay? Put that in your mind. We've got to get this. There's a fine line between worry and godly concern, and I'll explain more of that as we go. So, the King James translation, take no thought. Now, there are people, there are authorities who will take quotes from Shakespeare and say that take no thought really meant don't worry, okay? It's not a good translation for our day because we think, we don't even think about it. If I'm tempted to worry about something, well, I'll just put it out of my mind. That is not what Jesus is saying, not at all. Now, it's true, worry involves a lot of thought, doesn't it? We turn these things over and over. But godly concern also involves a lot of thought. The solution to worry is not to turn off your mind. So the point is, worry and concern are closely related. And don't think you are so wise that you will always know the difference. There is a difference, and the Lord knows the difference, but it's not so simple for us. Sometimes it's difficult to sort out the difference. When a person is thoughtful, like Timothy was, he uses his mind. Timothy thought about these things in order that he could be concerned and express that concern. Now, I want to go to a second question that will help us zero in, and here's the question. Was Paul a worrier? Now, immediately everybody said, well, of course Paul was not a worrier. He was a godly man. But before you say that, I want us to think about the mindset of Paul, and I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This passage is a little bit lengthy, but I need to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and of course this was one of Paul's letters. He was writing to the church at Corinth. And if you start in 16, he talks about how he's speaking like a human. He's almost being foolish in the way he's boasting and so on. Let me pick it up in verse 21. He says, to my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that, and just stay with me, but whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Or they, Hebrews. Now, when he says they, he's talking about the false apostles and false teachers who were telling the Corinthians that Paul was a bad guy. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. three times, that does not mean drunk. That means they threw rocks at him and left him for dead. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Now, why is Paul saying all these things? He's saying these things because this was one of those occasions where he had to defend himself that he was indeed a teacher and apostle from God. And in doing that, he says, let me tell you something. These other false teachers, they haven't suffered these things like I've suffered. And then he gives this long list. Now, no explanation is necessary to show that Paul endured extreme physical suffering. I don't know anybody who would like to go through what Paul went through. Now, you get all that in your mind, everything he suffered. Now, let me ask you a question. Did he live a carefree life? Hardly. He was serious about his commitment to spreading the gospel. All right, now we're ready for verse 28. And apart from other things, all those things he just mentioned, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And your translation may say, my concern for all the churches. Now that word is the same word again that's used in Matthew 6 of worry. He says, my concern for the churches also weighs heavily on me. Now, I'll just tell you right off, I think the ESV really missed it when they translated this as anxiety. Let me give you a dictionary definition for anxiety. Anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease about something with an uncertain outcome. So if the ESV's translation is right, it says Paul worried about the churches. Okay? I don't believe that's right. I believe this is the word is used here as a godly concern. He had a godly concern. Was it a burden for him? Yes. He says, this presses on me. As much as all of these outward things press on me, my concern for the church, the churches that he loved, were greatly concerned. Now, why do I believe that Paul was not given to worry? Go back to Philippians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Go back to Philippians again. I don't believe he's a worrier because I've read his letters and I don't sense that he worried. Philippians 1:12. This is a little letter, so we'll just go through a little bit of it. Verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, and what it was, is he had been thrown into prison, has really served to advance the gospel. He's saying, yes, I'm sitting here in a prison cell, but I'm rejoicing because this is advancing the gospel of Christ. Go to chapter 2. Or no, let's stay in chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored, literally magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So Paul doesn't know. He indicates later he believes he's gonna live, but he's not for sure whether he's going to live or die. But he says, but I am perfectly content with that. All I care about is that Christ be magnified, whether I live or whether I die. It doesn't sound like worry to me. Go to chapter 2, verse 17. Philippians 2:17. even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. It doesn't sound like worry. Chapter 4. And go down to verse 11. 4:11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He wasn't worrying. Didn't matter what his circumstances. He was trusting the one who strengthened him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, come back to chapter 4 again. We're still in 4. Back to verse 6, Philippians 4:6. Let me read it again. Do not be anxious about anything, or do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul was not a hypocrite, telling, now you people, don't worry about anything, while he's biting his nails as he dictates the letter. That's not where he was. Now you might say, so did Paul ever struggle with worry? I believe he did. He was tempted like any other man was tempted. He was not above temptation. Did he ever succumb to worry? I suspect he did. I suspect there were times when he caught himself worrying, but it was not the pattern of his life. He was not a worrier. He was intense about his concern for the churches. He was deadly serious about proclaiming the gospel. He put much thought into these things. He was not a worrier, but he was anything but carefree. He was a man who was serious about the Lord's work. Now comes the third question. We've asked, what about take no thought? No, it doesn't mean don't think. We've asked, was Paul a worrier? No, he wasn't a worrier. Now the question is this. What is the alternative to worry? If we're not supposed to worry, then what are we supposed to do? The world takes two approaches, basically, to this. One strategy is this. Avoid every difficult situation that will cause you to worry. Avoid difficult situations that could cause you to worry. Now, let's acknowledge that everybody in the world knows that worry is a bad thing. Psychologists, secular psychologists, will tell you how bad worrying is for you. They don't have any solution, but they have a good diagnosis. Don't worry. Anybody can tell you that. Worry can give you ulcers and all kind of other bad physical side effects, besides how it occupies your mind, etc., etc. That's great. But what do you do about it? Is there an alternative for worry? And many people, and sometimes we can be among them, we look for ways so that we're not in difficult situations. The watchword is this in the world: remove yourself from stressful situations. Reduce your stress level. I remember years ago there was this thing that came out. It was actually a mathematical formula. If you lose a loved one, you get so many points. I don't remember what it was, 20 points. If you lose your job, you get 10 points. If you have a broken relationship, you get this many points. If they tell you you've got a bad physical illness, you get this many points. And if your points add up to a certain amount, you're done. You're going to worry, be anxious, maybe have a nervous breakdown. You have no choice in the matter if those things come on you. I don't think Jesus knew that formula. Paul neither. But see, that's what the world will tell us. So the question is there an alternative? In the world, much of it will say, reduce your stress level. Well, let me tell you something. Would you like to reduce your stress level? Stop following Jesus. Paul could have eliminated that entire list of things that gave him stress if he had just quit following Jesus. Following Jesus, if we're serious about it, it'll get us in trouble. It'll get us in difficult situations, stressful situations. That is not the answer. There's a related strategy, and it goes like this. Lighten up. So, you're concerned, very concerned about some brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're just concerned for them, and it weighs on you. And a well-meaning friend comes along and says to you something like this. Says, well, it's good you're concerned about your brothers and sisters, but get real. You can't bear the whole world's problems. You got enough problems of your own. Let go of some of these things. And besides, you can't fix all their problems anyway, so just lighten up. What do you think? Maybe that sounds good on the surface. Let me read you a passage that some of you will be familiar with. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. He says, if you've got brothers and sisters in prison, be so concerned about them, it's like you're in prison with them. He does not tell us to lighten up. You can't find that. Look at Jesus. Look at Paul. It wasn't that kind of thing at all. There was a deep concern. I remind you, there is a fine line between godly concern and worry. We could read passage after passage, just like the one I read in the New Testament, that will urge us to be deeply concerned about others. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Can you love your neighbor without being concerned about your neighbor? No. Maybe for a while, but your neighbor's going to encounter difficulties. And if you're going to love the neighbor, you're going to have to hurt with your neighbor. Paul said, bear one another's burdens. That doesn't sound like lighten up to me. And it's not. We're still in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then guess who the example was in the verses following? Jesus, who humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. It wasn't lighten up. He gave his life for us. So, if we're not to avoid difficult situations to escape worry, and we're not to lighten up and be less concerned, then what are we to do? Back to Philippians 4:6. I'm reading this a lot on purpose. So listen again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There it is. What is the alternative to worry? Prayer. Let your requests be made known to God. If you want to put it simply, don't worry, pray. Don't avoid difficult situations. Don't avoid the seriousness of life, but pray over those difficult situations. Go back to Paul. He took life seriously. He lived with intensity and purpose, but he was not carefree. He faced difficult situations, but he did not pass them off as unimportant. He took them to the Lord, and he urged others to do the same. And as he prayed for these people, what did it do? It didn't take away his concern. It deepened his concern for those people. It was not a carefree life. 1 Peter 5:7. We read it earlier. We sang it this morning. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxieties. King James says, casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. There's the word again, anxieties or cares. Now, whether you want to consider it, cast your godly concerns or your anxieties, your worries on Him, take it either way. Cast them all on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. We can trust Him. Let's face it, cares can weigh us down. You know, I once had a man, a Christian brother, who told me, he said, I don't want anybody else to tell me their problems. I got enough problems of my own. I tell them, you just keep your problems. That is not the Christian life. Bear one another's burdens. If you bear the burdens of the people around you, it will weigh you down. You may lose some sleep over that. Here's the good news. We don't have to bear them alone. Let me read you that passage again that we know well, Matthew chapter 11. At the end of the chapter, Jesus gives us those encouraging words. This is the come unto me passage. 11:28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we often take that, well that's non-Christians, and they come to Jesus to get rest. Don't stop there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus doesn't say, shed the yoke. He says, you get in one side of the yoke with me because I'm on the other. And when you do that, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am there with you, bearing every burden you bear. I am bearing it with you. When we cast our cares on Him, He doesn't promise to remove the concerns from us, but He will bear them with us and He will sustain us in the midst of the worst circumstances. And in the process, He will preserve us from worry. So, let me boil it down. Norman, I'm going to pick on you because you shared this morning. So, Norman woke up at 3 in the morning and he's thinking about things. So, here's my question. Was Norman worrying or did he have a godly concern? See, it depends on how he handles it. So, look, let me put it like this. If I bear it myself, it will be worry. If it's not, it will quickly turn into worry. But if I cast my care on Him, if I, instead of worry, let my requests be known to God in prayer, then it will not be worry. Yes, it will be godly concern. It may be heavy, but it will not be worry. It will not be anxiety, but I'm trusting Him. There's a fine line. And make no mistake about it, we can fool ourselves. I can fool myself into thinking I'm trusting God when I'm bearing the burden myself. And He must give us guidance by His Holy Spirit. So I'm trying to emphasize this. And this is something that I've had to learn, and I'm not saying I'm there. But I think there was a time when I was really bad about, well, I'm just not going to let that bother me. And I just kind of put it out of my mind. Well, that sure does my brothers and sisters a whole lot of good. I need to bring it to God in prayer. Bear the burden with them, yes, by loving them, but also praying faithfully for them. Now, next week, we're going to get into this passage specifically at the end of Matthew 6. That will be our text. So why this week did we give this little introduction? Because we must get across the idea that not worrying is not living a carefree life. You know, that definition of carefree, let me take you back there. What's really troubling and confusing about it, and I'm not saying the dictionary's wrong, I'm just saying we have to understand we can't live a carefree life. Free from anxiety or responsibility, having no worries or troubles. Notice they put worries and troubles right together. Like, if you're going to have troubles, you're going to have worries. Is it possible to be burdened down with concern, stress, and not worry? Yes, it is. That's what Jesus lives out that life, and that's what He tells us in Philippians 4. Don't worry, but pray. This is not a happy-go-lucky life. You can be a very, very serious-minded person, and how can we be other? When Norman's talking about we got people around us stampeding toward hell, how can we not be serious about life? But that doesn't mean that we have to be a worrier. So just turn to Matthew 9. Let's come right to the crux of it. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. Responsibility does not have to result in anxiety. At the end of the chapter, verse 35, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But the Father told him, 'Lighten up, Jesus.'" No, he did not. Do you think the Lord would have us view people as Jesus viewed them? Do you think the Lord would want us to have compassion on people who are like sheep without a shepherd? Go read chapter 9 in Romans. We won't take time to read it, but read the first three verses, where it says that Paul was willing to be accursed from Christ on behalf of his brothers, his fellow Jews. Wow. He had compassion. And so the Lord would have us to have that kind of compassion on those around us who have no hope, who are apart from Christ. Let me read the quote from Spurgeon. I have to be reminded of this. "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that." The truth is, true Christians are concerned about lost people around them. So here's the question. Should we worry about lost people around us? What if it's a family member, someone close to you? They have no hope. They're outside of Christ. Should you worry about them? That's the dilemma. Can you be genuinely concerned and not worry? Yes. That's the life of Jesus. That's what we see in Jesus. Even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "My soul is troubled," to the point that he sweat drops of blood. Was he worried? He wasn't worried. Why? Because he cast his cares upon his Father. He prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." So one more time, Philippians 4. He says, when we do that, when we don't worry, but we bring our requests to him with thanksgiving, then the peace of God guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guards us from what? Worry. That peace that he talks about, it's the opposite of worry. Even when we're deeply concerned and we're praying and we're burdened, the peace of God can be there so that we're not worrying, but we're obediently bringing them to the Father. Now, I do have to give you a note of warning. For those of you who are here this morning and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, you can't escape worry. I don't want to be dismal, but you can't escape worry. You can try to avoid stressful situations. You may lighten up and so on. But you can't get around worry. And to be honest, if you're not worried about your own condition, you're a fool. But I pray for the day when you can face the reality of your lostness and cry out to God, and he can bring you to repentance and faith in the Christ who died and rose on your behalf. You may be here this morning and you're a believer and you're a little down after hearing this morning because you say, "I have to admit, I struggle with worry every day." I want to give you hope. The Lord understands how difficult this is. But as you keep confessing your sin, as I keep confessing my sin, and coming to him and talking to him and trusting him and praying to Him, He will more and more work in your life so that instead of worrying, you can pray, trusting Him all the while. It's a process. You say, well, I've got the truth now, so I'm not going to worry tomorrow. Here's the other thing I want to warn you. Some of us are really good at this. Too many times I do this. I realize I'm succumbing to worry, so I determine I'm not going to do that. That's not right. That does not please God, so I'm not going to worry anymore. You can't quit worrying. It's not going to happen by your determination. I don't care how strong your will is, you can't. Here's the good news. You cry out to God, and He can give you grace to turn that concern into prayer instead of worry. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the hope that You give us. Lord, I have to confess, though I'm not a worrier by nature, I can be guilty of that very thing. And many times I fool myself and I don't even realize it. Thank You that You're a forgiving God, that You sent Jesus to forgive us of our worrying, but not just to forgive us, but to set us free. Not free from concerns, not free from problems, but free from this anxiety we call worry. So Lord, work in us. Give us hope little by little. And Lord, when we catch ourselves worrying, convict us by the Holy Spirit and let us come to You quickly and cry out for Your mercy and grace. Thank You that You're not done with us yet, Lord, but You continue to work on us day by day. Thank You that Your grace is sufficient, and that as we come to You in prayer, Your peace does guard our minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Praise Your holy name. Lord, I do pray for those who are here this morning who haven't yet found rest in Your Son Jesus. Oh God, I pray that You bring them face to face with reality and show them that there is no way except Jesus and coming to repent and put trust in Him. I just give you a moment now to think about what we've been thinking about this morning. Father, I want to thank You for hearing our prayer this morning. I sense that You've met with us this morning. Continue to deal with our hearts. Encourage us by Your Spirit as we come to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.